Hello and welcome or welcome back to the Sex Scandals and Shenanigans podcast. My name is Adrienne and I'll be your host. In this show, I discuss notorious mistresses and lovers from history. In our last episode, we were in the Eternal City, or for those who don't know, Rome, and we were in the depraved beds of the Theophylacti or the Crescentii family, Marozia and all them. Anyway, we're moving. We're going to go to the land of the fjords and wilderness of the Norse. While not strictly a mistress or lover, our next person of interest, Gunhildr Gormsdottir, was the daughter of Norse warrior and king of Eric Bloodaxe, but she was also the daughter of Gorm the Old, who was a Danish king. Most sources regarding her are sparse and have been retold orally, but were finally written down by many different sagas, including Snorri Sturluson's Prose Edda. Other sources include multiple sagas, and I want to apologize in advance if I butcher any of these words, my bad. Other sagas include the Heimskringla, Eagle Saga, Njord Saga, Jom's Viking Saga, and the Laxdæla Saga. Again, I apologize if I mispronounce those. I'm doing the best I can. Clearly Norwegian, Danish, and even Swedish are not my mother tongues. I'd like to point out that this episode was requested by someone I also interact with on the Rex Factor podcast Discord. Someone told me I should look into Gunhildr, Mother of Kings, and they weren't wrong. So thank you to that person. They didn't say whether or not they wished to be named, so I'm not going to name them. But essentially, once I did a brief looking-a-loo around Gunhildr, she reminds me of Medea from Jason and the Argonauts from Greek mythology. And also, I'll have another Disney reference at the very end. But hang tight, we're going to get into this. So let's go. I should note before we get into Gunhildr's story and her adventures, this episode will be discussing death, sorcery, sex, priapism, which I didn't think I was going to actually use that word today, and other adult topics, so listener discretion is advised. While Gunhildr has been known to exist in the 10th century, we're mostly looking at mythological stories, and towards the end of her life is when we have more concrete evidence of her exploits as well as those of her husband Eric Bloodaxe, but we'll get to him in a bit. Speaking of sources, as mentioned, they are not concrete, but rather Gunhildr's story is part of nonfiction and part Icelandic Norse mythology. "I am here," she said, "to learn source from two of the most knowing Finns in all Finnmark, who are now out hunting. They both want me in marriage. They are so skillful that they can hunt out traces either upon the frozen or the thawed earth, like dogs. They can run so swiftly on skis that neither man nor beast can come near them in speed. They hit whatever they take aim at. They thus kill every man who comes near them. When they are angry, the very earth turns away in terror, and whatever living thing they look upon them falls dead. Now ye must not come in their way, but I will hide you here in the hut, and ye must try to get them killed." This is Snorri Sturluson's introduction of Gunhildr to her husband, Eric Bloodaxe. To counter that, there are other characters and historical figures that are from her and Eric Bloodaxe's union, including Harald II, also known as Grey Cloak or Greyhide, whatever. And Harald Bluetooth was her brother. Yes, that Bluetooth, the Bluetooth technology, was named after her brother. Anyway, let's get into Gunhildr's background. According to Historia Norwegiae, which was written in Latin anonymously by a monk, which describes the history of the Earls of Orkney and the Kings of Norway. The work has been dated to have been written around the 1500s, so between 1500 to 1510. For the most part, though, unless it's from an actual historical charter or any other written records from maybe any monks or any chronicles, we're going to be basing a lot of this information off of the Norse sagas, particularly Heimskringla and Prose Edda and Eagles Saga. So let's get started. Historians generally relate that Gunhildr was the daughter of Gorm the Old, King of Denmark, and his wife Thyra. However, other sources, like the Heimskringla, say that Gunhildr was a daughter, or the daughter, of the Norwegian Hisir Hrosertoti, a leader of the Norse Hersir, or a military leader, usually leading about 100 men, who was under the allegiance of a king or a jarl, Scandinavian version of an earl, or a titled nobleman. So either way, she comes from a wealthy background. Most historians again state that she is the daughter of Gorm the Older and Thyra, who was a Danish princess herself, or at least she came from an English background as well, and she was also the sister of Harald Bluetooth, who was definitely the son of Gorm the Old. Her birth date, or her birth year, is assumed to be around 910, could be as early as 900, I'm not sure. Again, the sources are not very clear, they are scant and scarce, so historians, let alone myself, who's a very lazy historian, have to kind of go with the idea that she was born around 910 CE. Now keep in mind, when I go over the children, one of the sons was also allegedly born in 910 CE. So magic abounds in this episode, because there's some black magic fuckery going on. Wherever Gunnhildr came from, and in my estimation, she was a Danish princess, daughter of Gorm the Old, she played an important role during the 10th century Scandinavian lands and politics. Furthermore, according to the Heimskringla and Eagle Saga, Gunnhildr was eventually married to Erik Blodnax after fighting in the northern Dvina in Bjarmaland. Due to his successes, he, Erik, was granted the hand of Gunnhildr, daughter of Ósarthoti. That's from Eagle Saga, chapter 37. We'll get to him in a little while. Prior to her marriage to Erik Bloodaxe, Gunnhildr was kidnapped by two Finn wizards. Were any of them named Harry, though? Also, these Finnish wizards were wanting sexual favors and marriage, and somehow through magic, Gunnhildr was able to induce slash produce Erik's appearance and saved her from their clutches. Erik then proceeded to save her and then took her back to her father's court and decreed that they would marry. Keep in mind the Finn story, or the Finnish wizards, that's just mythological. There's no record of her actually being harbored by two Finnish wizards. The stories get even weirder. Another saga called the Fagraskinna, which is the saga of the Fairhair family, which Erik Bloodaxe comes from, as he was the son of Harald Fairhair, states that Erik met Gunnhildr while he was in Finland and he found her being fostered and educated with Mjöltul, who was the king of the Finns. Historian Marlene Siglamian, and I apologize if I mispronounced that, states that the Finnish trip of Gunnhildr was nothing but a fable designed to place blame for Erik's failure as a leader and was used as a blaming device for Gunnhildr. As you can tell, I haven't been putting any years for any of the story's characters, but here we go. Gunnhildr's parents, allegedly. Gorm the Old, born definitely before 900 CE, probably in the mid-9th century. Thyra, unknown, but probably prior to 900 as well. Ósarthoti, allegedly, probably born late 9th century, and Erik Bloodaxe, her husband, was estimated to be born in 885. For the sake of our mental health, I'm going to say that Gunnhildr was born around 910 CE. Though I was doing some research on one of her sons, he was allegedly born in 910. Black magic fuckery! Anyway, and she probably married Erik Bloodaxe, son of Harald Fairhair, Harald Fairhair being the uniter of all Norse and slash Norwegian lands. Anyway, I'm going to say around the age of 15 to 20 years old, she probably married Erik. So give or take 925 to 930. Through their marriage, Gunnhildr and Erik had the following issue. Gamli Eriksson, born 910 to 955 CE. Magic, I tell you. He was also named after Gunnhildr's father, Gorm the Old of Denmark. Guttorm Eriksson, nothing has been found about him. Harald II, Greycloak slash Greyhide, King of Norway from 961 to 970, 971. Reginfrød Eriksson, limited information, couldn't find much. Reginhild Eriksdotter, married into the Earl of Orkney line. This will become important later. She died around 984. Erling Eriksson, Gudrod Eriksson, Sigurd Sleva, no info, and Rugenvald Eriksson. So they will all become important later on in the story. Do you know what this woman is known for? Aside from popping out a shit ton of little warrior Viking kids? Getting into spats. Like magical spats or magical wars. So let's get into that. Gunnhildr's most known spat was with Icelandic writer, poet, farmer, sorcerer, and berserker. You know, those warriors who were like the rangers or the seals or any other super soldiers from, you know, the Viking age. Yeah, she got into a spat with him. Not necessarily unfounded, but let's just say it was lifelong. And that person was Egil Skallagrimsson. He was from 904 to 995. He was an old motherfucker. According to his saga, Egil's saga, he too had a bad relationship with Gunnhildr. Apparently, Egil's father, Skallagrimir, who was a chieftain in Norway, was the mortal enemy of Gunnhildr's father-in-law, Harald Fairhair. Fun family shit here, y'all. Also, Egil held grudges even at a young age because according to Egil's saga in chapter 40, he once was playing games with other children. Egil, unfortunately, was not winning due to the other children cheating. However, he was tossed to the ground by one of the boys named Grimm because Egil threw him through the first smack. Well, again, Grimm was cheating. Anyway, after being tossed to the ground like a doll, Egil went home, grabbed an axe, and we never hear from Grimm again. Now that we know that Egil was not one to be messed with, we find that Egil had runestones and bones to pick with Gunnhildr. After the retirement and eventual death of Harald Fairhair, Gunnhildr's father-in-law, say around 930, and his death, again around 930, his son Eric Bloodaxe took forth the control of the Norse throne, which then made Gunnhildr queen. Eric also murdered and killed, depending on your outlook of course, two of Egil's brothers, and Egil himself was declared an outlaw by Eric. To avenge his two brothers' deaths, Egil, before escaping to Iceland, had murdered the youngest son of Eric Bloodaxe and Queen Gunnhildr's Rudinwald? Not sure if Gunnhildr was his mother, but information is scant, but we do know he is definitely a son of Eric Bloodaxe. Oh, and Egil, the poetic gentleman he was, put a horse's head on a pole, cursing Eric Bloodaxe and Queen Gunnhildr's, decrying, "Here I set up a nithering pole and declare nith against King Eric and Queen Gunnhildr." He turned the horse head to face the mainland and also said, "I declare this nith at the land spirits there and the land itself, so that all will fare astray, not to hold or find their places, not until they reek King Eric and Gunnhildr from the land." To combat this curse, of course, Gunnhildr had to put a spell on Egil, making him feel restless and depressed until they were to meet again. Taylor Swift's Bad Blood song has made its appearance. This also reminds me of the magic battle between Merlin and Madame Mim from Disney's Sword in the Stone. Because of other political issues and Norway becoming war-torn in the 900s, and we'll get into that in a second, Eric and Gunnhildr had to flee from Norway to the Orkney Islands. Now, Orkney was under the control of the Earl of Orkney, whose name was Thorfinn, who was married to their daughter. Prince Haakon, who overtook the Norwegian throne from 934 to 961, had expelled Eric and Gunnhildr. Side note, Haakon the Good was the fostered son at the Count of Athelstan. Also, Haakon was the younger brother, or really half-brother, of Eric, and the youngest son of Harald Fairhair. I wish I could say this was a bloody family wreath, but it's more like a bloody version of Yggdrasil, the Norse mythological tree of knowledge. Eric garnered another alliance with Æthelstan of England. They eventually became the king and queen of Northumbria, once they left, of course, their son-in-law and daughter's Orkney Islands. Guess who came to England? That's right, Egil! Every time I write his name, I want to scream Egil! Egil had his friend Arinbjorn tell a drapa, or poetry, dropping some stanzas, y'all. Eric wasn't thrilled about hearing this, and enemy of Egil's, Gunnhildr, wanted Egil executed. However, Arinbjorn was able to convince Eric to stave off the execution for the next day. The eagle has landed again in Eric and Gunnhildr's court. You know I've been saving that for the whole entire episode. Don't judge me. By 954, Eric was fighting, and he was around 68, 69 years old, in modern-day Stainmore in Cumbria. It was surmised that he was trying to gain his allies or alliances out of Scotland and Ireland, but then he died, probably bloody, and by an axe. To maintain her safety after the death of her husband, Gunhilde returned to her brother's court, Harald Bluetooth, in Denmark. She also took her sons with her. With Bluetooth's support, Gunhilde's sons were granted multiple titles and properties, mostly the siblings of Harald II, Greycloak/Greyhide. He was brought up in Harald Bluetooth's court, so he was essentially the heir. Moving on. Also, Harald was in a war with Eric's youngest brother, Hakon, and having his nephews there was a boon as they could be used as proxies against Hakon. Unfortunately, one son, Gamli, died in 960 fighting against his half-uncle. In 961, during the Battle of Fitnjar, Hakon was killed. What happens when a king, generally a younger one too, dies? Oh, yeah, a power vacuum. With the help of Uncle Harald Bluetooth, Gunhildr's son, Harald, Greycloak, Greyhide, whatever, was able to grab the Norwegian crown. It is at this point that Gunhildr gets her epithet, Mother of Kings. After the death of Eric, Gunhildr's romantic interest did not die down. She was known, as per the sagas, to have taken lovers, particularly since they were younger than her. Her most notable lover was that of Rut Herfosson, I probably said that wrong, who was a chieftain in Iceland. They met after Eric's death, while her son Harald was king, around at least after 961. We'll get to that story shortly. She also bore favoritism on Hrut's nephew, another Icelandic chieftain and merchant named Olaf the Peacock. Apparently he really liked to wear nice clothes, and that's why he was parading like a peacock. I don't think it was a sexual relationship with him, though. You know, you gotta really love these Viking names or Scandinavian names. So let's get into Gunhildr's epic romantic saga with Hrut. Alright, there's multiple tellings of this story. However, I'm going to be pulling from Njáls saga and kind of go from there. Now, according to Njáls saga, Gunhilde, or Gunhildr, as we know her, who has been widowed at this point, her son Harald, named after his grandfather, rules Norway. A man named Hrut and his companion Sufti visit Harald's court. Hrut comes to claim his inheritance. Gunhildr then gives ships so that he can claim his inheritance. Apparently he got two of them. And apparently he was a very good looking man and she still retained her looks. It is also noted that Hrut is significantly younger. I was reading earlier, at least a generation younger. So not only is she the mother of kings, she's also a MILF. Hrut then asks for a place in Harald's court, and Gunhildr acknowledges that and says, Harald, do so. Soon thereafter, Gunhildr and Hrut essentially became lovers for a few weeks. When spring rolled around, because, that's when people travel. Gunhildr gifted two longships, fully manned, for Hrut to use on his expedition to Denmark. By the following winter, Hrut had returned with his treasures/booty and had returned to Harald's court and also saw Gunhildr. After following his trip from Denmark, at this point, Hrut informed Gunhildr that he is to head to Iceland. After many a discussion that had been between the lovers, Gunhildr gives him a gold ring, or rather a bracelet. She places it on Hrut's wrist and then binding a spell to it and Hrut. Hrut and his men arrive to Iceland. He meets with Herskold, another member of the Thing, and also his brother. The Thing being a political body similar to the U.S. Congress or the British House of Lords and House of Commons. That's also where he meets Fidel Mord, his daughter, Una or Un. Hrut and Un, or Una, will eventually get married. Unbeknownst to likable Hrut, Gunhildr enchanted the bracelet or ring that she gave him. In any case, Hrut does not know that Gunhildr placed a spell on the ring/bracelet. In any case, long story short, Fidel Mord's daughter Una and Hrut become engaged. They're going to get married, but they can't consummate the marriage because Hrut can't put himself in his wife. So they have to go for a divorce, meaning Gunhildr at this point got her revenge as the jilted, deserted lover of Hrut. The only difference between Medea and Gunhildr at this point is the fact that Gunhildr is already a widow. It's not like she was already married to Hrut and justifying the cheating. Way to go, Gunhildr! Like I said, she reminds me of the Norse version of Medea, wife of Jason from the Argonaut. Well, after that last sexcapade, everyone gets old and dies, as does Gunhildr. After 10 years on the restored Fair Haven, family name of Harald and Eric, throne in Norway, Hale Greycloak, Greyhind, whatever, was killed via an arrangement by Håkon the Bad, Uncle Harald Bluetooth, in 971. Harald allowed slash invited Harald Greycloak slash Hyde, whatever, to visit Denmark to invest new chiefs and fiefs. At this point, Håkon the Bad started another war with Gunhildr's sons. Unlike in 961, Gunhildr and her sons were not victorious and she had to flee Norway again with Gudrod and Regnfred, Unlike this last time she was in Orkney visiting her daughter and son-in-law Thorfinn, Gunhildr was not invested or interested in ruling the area, but rather being an old woman resting her war-torn, weary bones. She left all adventure to her sons to annoy Håkon with raids and Thorfinn with ruling the Orkney Islands. But wait, apparently she was not done traveling. By 977, Gunhildr decided to venture one last time to Denmark, but her brother, Harald Bluetooth, decided she was better off dead. So, he ordered that Gunhildr be, per the Jomsviking saga, killed by drowning in a bog. I feel deprived of a climactic death here. She allegedly drowned in a fucking bog. I feel hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived. I bet she probably died of old age. Thanks for nothing, Gunhildr. Honestly, thinking about this now, comparing it to her friend Eagle, she died at the age of 70. He died at the age of 91 years old. So I wonder who won that war. And it wasn't Gunhildr. But anyway, you tell me who had the better cursing abilities. Was it the eagle or was it Gunhildr? That was the life of Gunhildr, mother of kings, wife of Eric Bloodaxe, sister of Harald Bluetooth, and mother of Harald Greycloak, Greyhide, whatever. Thank you for joining me on today's episode. This was recommended to me by someone in the Rex Factor Discord. So keep the suggestions coming. I'm really happy to hear them. If you'd like to reach out to the show, you can do so via email, sexscandalshenaniganspod@gmail.com. Until next time, please try not to get into any shenanigans yourself, as I just may end up telling your story. Thanks and bye!